Lord. We do thank you for being here in your presence, Lord, with us as we worship, as we read your word. Lord, we give this portion of the service to you, and we pray, Lord, that your words would come forth, Lord. That which you would have spoken would be spoken, and nothing more, nothing less. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think as I stand up here this evening, just really what an honor and a blessing it is to be a part of this church body and to have the opportunity to be here and bring what I believe to be the word of God for today, and hopefully to make plain that which is written in God's word. You know, I almost didn't come tonight. You know, I got home from work. I was driving home from work, and I was talking with my wife, and I just didn't really feel great. I didn't feel great about the things that are going on in the world. I didn't really feel great about my energy level, or just had this general not feeling well. And I almost didn't come tonight, so needless to say, when Pastor Moore came up and prayed, and he said, you know, thank you for the word that Pastor Chris is going to bring, my eyes perked up, and my wife looked at me and says, do you have this evening's message? And I scooted out the back door, and I double-checked the elder's schedule, and I do have this evening's message. And I said, praise the Lord that he has given us a word in season and a word and a message for the time being. That we're always prepared with an answer. And I have to ask, and I don't take this the wrong way. I have to ask how many of you, I don't like to get political, that's why I say don't take this the wrong way, but how many of you watched the circus last night? I mean, I recently saw somebody with a shirt headed into Stewart's as I was headed out, and the shirt said, hire a clown, get a circus. And I chuckled, though I didn't agree with him. But I watched the debate last night. And my 17-year-old daughter watched for about 10 minutes. And then she shook her head and she said, now keep in mind, she's only 17, so. But she shook her head and she said, our country is run by idiots. I can't watch this anymore. And she got up and left the room. So, as I was praying, Lord, show me what good can come out of this. You know, there's much good that can come out of the world that we find ourselves living in. And the reason there's much good is because we serve the God of peace. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, the scripture says, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And as I ponder the world that I find myself living in, I often think, Lord, rapture? How about now? That thought crosses my mind at least daily. But at the same time, as we live in this world of chaos and violence and corruption and lies and pain and suffering and hurt, and I'm sorry if I'm drawing a bit of a bleak picture, but as I look around, it's what I see. And I think we can focus on that, or we can remember that we serve the Prince of Peace, that we serve the one true God. In a world full of chaos, we can have peace, and the world needs to know this peace. If we weren't here, who's to tell them that there is hope? If we weren't here, who's to tell them that there's a better way? If we weren't here, and I'm going to take that one step further, we are here. But if we are not inviting the world to come here with us, or if we're not emboldened by the Holy Spirit to open our mouth and tell the world the truth, and to bring peace, what hope does the world have? We all have responsibility. You know, as I raise my children, and they're getting older and older, and I'm looking back at pictures and seeing how short and small and young they looked, and then walking into the other room and thinking to myself, man, I'm going to be looking up at my boys fairly soon. They're going to pass me in height. My youngest grew 6.5 inches this last year. And I think, as a parent, I have a responsibility to teach them certain things. Driving here, sitting in the passenger seat, my daughter's driving along, and every moment of the way, I'm seeing, oh, here's another opportunity for me to share some wisdom with her in her driving so that the world can be at peace and not afraid. But if I don't teach her, then I'm unleashing great chaos upon the world by giving her the car keys. But as Christians, we all have responsibilities as well. And in our weekly devotion, our nightly devotion this week with the children, I was talking with them about the mixing of faith and works. Show me your faith without works, or show me your works without faith, and I will show you my faith because of my works. And I was talking with them about how you need both. So when I say we have responsibilities as Christians, by no means am I promoting a works-based doctrine, but we mix faith and the reading of the word, and then we go and we do it. And in Matthew 5:9, we're told, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Praise the Lord, we have sons of God here in this room and daughters of God. But as I look at the chaos in the world around me, here's scripture that says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So if I have opportunity to open my mouth and bring peace into a situation, I should. With the work that I do, and some in this room will understand better than others, but the work that I do with special needs adults, there's great opportunity to bring peace. Because if you are not looking around constantly at every interaction going on around you with your group, or if there's multiple groups together, things can be going fine one moment, and then the very next, there's some chaotic thing happening. We're like, I didn't see that coming. And I'm always encouraging the younger staff, the new hires, that if you're looking, usually, I'm not going to say always, but usually, you can see it coming. And you can step in and say, hey, guys, and before the problem happens, you can put in one little word that just gently steers the ship in a different direction, and that chaotic disagreement or whatever, that moment of chaos that was impending is averted and avoided. We have the same opportunity with every interaction going on around us, every moment of every day. We can certainly see, as we're walking through the day, times and situations where maybe we don't feel safe, where you see an individual and you're noticing something's not quite right there. I don't feel safe. I'm going to come walk over here. And that's good. But if you're looking with a spiritual eye, maybe you could also see that individual who came in and sat down at the steward's table, that there's pain in their eyes, and that there's something more going on there. They were just rude to the cashier, maybe. And you're like, oh, man, what a jerk. But if you look in their eyes, you see that there's some pain and some hurt going on. And if we would only take the time to sit and say, you know, hey, is everything okay? In this world, that would be strange enough to get many people's attention, that some stranger just stopped near them and said, hey, is everything okay? But it's that opportunity to bring peace into their life. Maybe they know Jesus, maybe they don't. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, as a Christian, there's been times in my life where I've been walking along through life, and life is getting me down, and I'm getting all out of sorts. And somebody will come along with a well-placed word from the scripture and a reminder and encouragement. And sometimes that's all it takes to say, oh, hey, that's right, yes. Oh, we serve the God of peace. It's going to be okay. And then you're back on track and you're trucking. But if that person wasn't obedient to the prompting of the Spirit to come alongside and encourage, to take notice that you needed that encouragement, you could be plodding along and hitting your head on a wall because you don't realize it's there. But we keep our eyes open, we see these opportunities, and we step in and we have an opportunity to bring peace to the people around us. And certainly after watching the debate last night, there was plenty of opportunity for anybody in the room to bring a moment of peace, of clarity. In John 16, verse 33. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There's so much there in such a small verse. In me, you may have peace. Will I have peace in the world? Will I have peace in my finances? Will I have peace in my career? Will I have peace in my marriage? Will I have peace in my relationships? Will I have peace in my children? I don't know that any parent has ever written about raising children and only written about peace. Because if any parent ever wrote a book about how peaceful raising children are, the publisher would laugh and deny it. They would not publish it. They'd be like, this is lies. This is not the whole story. Finish the story, man. Because children are not always peaceful. So we don't have peace in all those things. Who do we have peace in? We have peace in Him. We have peace in Christ. We have peace in our relationship with God. In the world, tribulation. So like when we wake up and we watch the morning news, or we come home and we watch the evening news and we see some traumatic event that happened, though we should be empathetic and compassionate towards that, we should not be surprised. Because we're told in the world you will have tribulation. When you go to witness to somebody and they mock you, they reject Christ, they mock Christ, and they just are absolutely horrible, we shouldn't be surprised because in the world there is tribulation. But at the same time, we should not be Eeyore. Poor old Eeyore. Nobody wants to play with me because I'm so slow. You know, we shouldn't get down about it and be like, man, I'm a terrible soul winner. I guess I'm just going to pack my bags and go home. Nobody wants this message. You know, there's more to that verse. But take heart. I have overcome the world. When you get to that point where you're like frustrated and you're like, this isn't working. Why won't they just accept Jesus? Why won't they just accept peace? Why won't they just accept true love? Why don't they get it? Take heart, I've overcome the world. Everything that we could face, every sin, every trial, every temptation, every tribulation that we've ever faced, Jesus Christ has already overcome. And by believing in him, accepting him, and becoming a true disciple and learning of him, taking the word of God and planting it in your heart and in your mind, you have that right there available and ready for when you're getting down, when you're getting bummed out, when you're getting depressed, when you're up against hard times or difficult situations. It's right there, the word of God, the tip of your mind, the tip of your heart, tip of your tongue. So it's as easy as that, right? Just take heart. I've overcome the world. That's simple. There's so many scriptures on peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. If we look for it, and if we ponder and if we think upon the situation that's not peaceful, and we put ourselves at a spot where we can really see it from an outside perspective, and we really work at it, we can probably find a peaceful resolution. The Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. I think about this missionary story that I read some time back. And I was reading it, I think, to my children. And it was this husband and wife who were missionaries in Africa. And they were in a village. They had their own hut. They were asleep. They had been working, the chieftain of the village was a witch doctor, and they had been very much opposing him and what he was doing. People were getting sick, and the witch doctor's like, come to me, I'll make them well. And they're like, no, you need Jesus. Let us pray, he will heal you. And they would pray, and he'd be healed. And as this happened over and over and over, the witch doctor got increasingly angry and contentious because he was being undermined. He was being undercut. His authority was being challenged in his mind. And he stirred up the village against them, and to the point where there was an angry mob that came to them in the middle of the night with torches and called them out of their hut. Like, we're going to burn you alive. Come out. Come out. And the husband woke up to this, and he prayed. And I don't remember all the details exactly, but, you know, he said to his wife, it's okay, let's go out. She's like, what are you thinking? We can't go out there. They're going to burn us. He goes, they're not going to lay a hand on us. He goes, how can you be so sure? And he said, don't you see? She goes, see what? And he prayed, Lord, open her eyes. And as he prayed that, she looked out the window of the hut, and there was an army of angels with fiery swords all around their yard. And there was an opening. And they walked out. And the husband loudly declared that you're not going to lay a hand on us. God is our protection. And the end result of their faith and their courage and their boldness to walk out and rebuke and bring God's truth to the situation was that witch doctor ultimately ended up giving his life to the Lord, and the whole village followed suit. Had they looked at the tribulation and cowered in fear, who knows how that story would have gone? They had every reason under the visible circumstances to be afraid, but they walked out in peace because God gave them peace. He gave them protection. And he opened the husband's eyes to see the protection that was standing before them. Romans 12:18. The scriptures read, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. I absolutely love that verse for so many reasons. it could be read if and it is possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. If we look hard enough, there is probably a really good chance that under most circumstances, we can find a peaceful solution. But also in that verse, it says, so far as it depends on you, which also leaves the back door open. There may be situations where sometimes it's not possible to live peaceably. You know, you see the coexist bumper stickers, and they've got all the different religious symbols. And can you do me a favor, Matt? Can you turn off all of the light switches in the back there? All right. So it's pretty dark in here, right? Is it dark right here? No. Why not? Because the light is shining here. Matt, I want light and darkness to exist peaceably beside each other. Can you do me a favor and turn the lights back on? Wait, that didn't work. Where'd the dark go? There are circumstances where it is not possible. Good and evil cannot coexist. When I went on my missionary trip to India, I came back and I went on DTS staff with Youth with a Mission and was working as a volunteer at the mission base. One of the young ladies who had come on staff, she had gone and done her mission trip to Tibet. And she fell in love with the area. She fell in love with the people. And she said that she felt called to go and be a missionary to Tibet. And everybody was excited. And then she said, in fact, I feel called specifically to the Buddhist monasteries. And everybody did a little eye raise. You see, her plan was she wanted to set the Buddhist monks free from the false doctrine that they'd been deceived by. So her great plan was she was going to shave her head and join the Buddhist monastery and go live at the Buddhist monastery so that she could witness to them. Does anybody see any problems with that? I'm so blessed to have such a mature congregation of disciples here, because there's like hmms coming from the crowd and chuckles and like looks of like, what is she thinking? Because we know that light and dark cannot coexist together. I was blessed when I went on my missions trip to India to be there with my older brother Dan, who's 18 months older than me, and we're very close. And we visited quite a few different temples, whether they were Hindu or Buddhist or Muslim. We visited one mosque, but a lot of Hindu and Buddhist temples. And the one temple we visited, you know, the tour guide was busy explaining some ornate carving on the wall, and my brother and I, being more curiously minded than the ornate carving on the wall, we kind of wandered a little bit. And as we wandered, we came to these two massive doors that were also ornately carved, but they were slightly ajar. They were cracked slightly, much as our sanctuary door in the back is. So we came up to the door, and we were peeking in to this very dimly lit room full of monks, priests, religious worshipers, people who had dedicated themselves to this temple. But they were all sitting on the floor and chanting. And it was one of the most demonic things I've ever experienced in my life. There were people levitating off the floor. There was they were definitely accessing dark spiritual world. And suddenly our guide grabbed us by the arm and pulled us back, and angrily talking, and our interpreter's interpreting, "You can't be here. What are you doing here?" Sorry, it was actually one of my brother had told this story, and this part was something he had picked up on that I didn't. But one of the pastor's sons, as he came to get us, one of the monks who was inside, turned and looked at us and was speaking to us, and the pastor's son was interpreting, and he cried out with this very dark voice, "What are you doing here? You don't belong here." What happened there was evil recognized good and called it out for what it was. So in my mind, as I'm hearing this young lady's plan to go minister, I'm like, "Lord, have mercy." You know, I pray for her a lot while I was, I have no idea what happened to her now, but, you know, during the year that she was there, while I was still at that missions base, I prayed for her a lot, because it's like, that's a bad plan. This is an example of, if at all possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all, does not mean go join a Buddhist monastery to witness to them. It doesn't mean we can't and shouldn't witness to Buddhist monks, just maybe not in that way. So I want to end with, well, let me look quick at Hebrews 12:14, because that was, I've got that written down next to Romans 12:18. "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." I'm actually going to end it right there. The word strive. If I were to walk down this aisle, I would not be striving. Why? Because it would be fairly easy for me to walk down that aisle. But that word strive, if everybody in the room filled up this aisle, and then I said, "Okay, guys, you prevent me from getting to that door, and I'm going to try to get there," and I had to push my way through everybody here, I would be striving. Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness without which no one will see the Lord. It's not always going to be easy to live at peace, and sometimes it might not be possible. But why do we do it? For the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. My whole end game here, my whole purpose on this spinning rock, my ultimate objective is to get to heaven. But I'm not satisfied just getting to heaven. I could stop everything I'm doing for God's kingdom today, and I would get there. But I'm not satisfied with that. My goal is to get to heaven and to bring as many people with me as I can when I go. You know, when I get to heaven, I want to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I kind of have this picture in my mind that as I hear those words, that Jesus is going to put his hand on my shoulder and gently turn me, and he's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," as he sweeps his arm, and there's a whole sea of souls that are there because I opened my mouth and I shared hope and peace and love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe that person's my daughter, Miriam. And then maybe she goes and tells 10 people. And it's my son, Nathaniel. And he goes and he tells 10 people. And it's my son, Noah. And he goes and he tells 10 people. But it doesn't stop there, because 5 of those people say yes. And then they go and tell their friends and their family. And it just exponentially grows. I can see a situation where, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And there's a sea of faces people that I don't even recognize. I'm like, but Lord, I don't even. He goes, yeah, but you see, you told this person who told that person who shared with this person who shared with that person who shared with this person. And then it got told over here and somebody wrote it down and then it was read 50 years later and this person gave their life to the Lord. And that's accredited to you. And it's not that I want that. Well done, my good and faithful servant, and that imagery for that little attaboy pat on my back. It's because I truly want everyone who would say yes to God's kingdom, I want to see them standing there in heaven next to me worshiping him. You know, the number of times I've been in a worship service and closed my eyes only to quickly open them a moment or two later to check the room because it sounds like there's more people singing in the room, the volume, the sound of the singing is greater than the number of people in the room and definitely greater than the tune I can carry. And in those moments where I feel like there's literally like an angelic host there present worshiping God with us, or maybe, you know, who knows. But in that moment where I'm like, we are not alone worshiping God right now, I think, how great is the worship session going to be when we get to heaven? When we just look out upon just the amazing creativity that God has given to the human race. And we hear the different people singing. It's going to be one awesome worship session. For those who are watching online, listening live, you know, we're going to close our service in prayer. And as we close our eyes and bow our heads, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that you have given us peace in a time of chaos, that you have given us hope in a time where there is not much hope in the world. Lord, it's through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we have this peace. You sent him to this earth to live and set an example for us, to die on the cross for our sins, but to be raised from the grave 3 days later, to sit at the right hand of the throne of God and speak on our behalf. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never acknowledged that he is real and asked him to forgive you for your sins, it only takes a simple prayer. Jesus, I believe, and I appreciate, and I thank you for what you did for me. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Prince of Peace. Be the lifter of my head. Cleanse me and make me whole, Lord. Fill that hole in my heart, that longing, that desire that's unexplainable, that you've tried to fill with your career, with your passion, with your hobbies, with your relationships, but you have found with things, but you have found all of these only bring temporary peace, only bring temporary joy. Jesus Christ is that answer. Fill that hole. If you have prayed this prayer, please reach out to the church. We would love to bring you or send you a New Testament. We would love to see you sitting here in one of these services worshiping alongside of us. We would love to hear your story. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you for the word that you have brought. Pray that you would just keep us safe as we go, Lord. Keep us looking for opportunities to bring peace and to share hope with a world that is often tossed into chaos. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.